Hi, Vanya Arstanian.
Oh, hi, Mike Jensen.
I'm super excited to be doing episode 2 of our podcast.
I am so excited too. Please don't mind the garbage truck in the background if you can hear it.
That's okay.
It's during the day.
This is real life.
Yeah. And there might be children because, you know, I'm just happy to be seeing your face. It's like whatever I can do. Oh my God. This is a better week than last week, Mike.
This is, we are, I think, as a human race.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As a country, mm-hmm. and certainly personally, I think this is a better week than last week. So why don't we talk about our week?
Oh dear God!
Yeah, we recorded on election day last week. So what? How did the rest of your day go?
It was fine. I think I sang a lot of karaoke, like I was telling you. It's my way of escaping, and played games with the kids, and just tried not to think about it because I knew at least we wouldn't find out that day. Then the next day happened, and. Then it was Friday. And then what was it? Saturday. So it was really, really stressful, actually. And each day I started maybe drinking a little more and getting less hopeful and just, and I remember my husband maybe saying, "It's looking good, Vanya." I'm like, "Shut your mouth." I'm like, "Shut your freaking mouth, man. I don't want to jinx anything here." But then when we found out, it was the most excited I've been in 4 years and the most relieved I've been in 4 years. God bless.
So I said that I had plans that night, and I did. Annabelle and I went to her restaurant and had a lovely, lovely meal, and then ended up going back to her apartment. And it was it's funny because I feel like we'd been told for weeks.
Right.
We're not going to know that night. And then that night I was like, I need to know tonight.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, this is taking too long. And then so it's sort of a roller coaster. First of all, I stayed up Tuesday night until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God.
Which was stupid because I was like, you're not going to find out anything. Like, you're literally just torturing yourself by watching the news until 6 o'clock in the morning. They're not going to like randomly announce at 5:30 something, you know, something news happened. So I went to bed that night or that morning, I suppose, very depressed, like feeling very dark about the situation, even though like Biden and everyone was saying, like, it's looking good. Like, it's looking good. It seems like it's looking bad, but it's actually looking good.
Right.
I just couldn't really believe it. And then Wednesday, I felt a little more hopeful during the day, but then still really like declined as the night went on and just started feeling like super, super dark about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it was funny because I edited. So for those that are listening to this, this is the second episode. Like I said, our first one is officially out, like as
Yay!
Of a few hours ago, actually. Woo-hoo! Yeah, we're at least on Spotify and Apple, so you can find us in those places. I was editing it, and I make a comment in the first episode where I say, I think there's a chance that we might know more than we think we would know right away. And part of me kind of like facepalmed a little bit, was a little bit like, oh, Mike, like those are words you're going to eat later. But, you know, here is what I feel like we found out. And I don't know if this is a good thing to bring up or not, but I just think we found out, we've been saying for so long, our country is more divided than it's ever been.
Yes.
And I think that that's what we found out. I think that it's just, and I don't want to go sad, like I don't want to go depressing, because I do think this is a wonderful moment. I think it's a great, it's a hopeful moment. You know, there's something to be said for the fact that Biden received more votes than any other candidate in the history of presidential elections ever. I think that it is also worth noting that Donald Trump received more votes than any loser in the history of the presidential election. 70 million people.
Yeah, that's very depressing.
Right. 70 million people looked at the last 4 years and were like, yeah, this seems right. It seems like we're on the right track. And that really, I don't know what to do with that information. And I don't want to be part of the divide. I think I said last time, I don't understand supporting Trump. And there's part of me that almost wants to understand, but I can't comprehend it. I don't know. I don't know what to do with the information.
I am with you on that. I just don't know how people make that decision when you know that there's people out there who think that they're like good, God-fearing, Christian, kind people voting for him. But and maybe it's just where I'm at, but everything I see, he seems very bleak and angry and he's attaching to that anger in everybody as well. And then some people just don't give a crap at all. They some people I think are really jaded by politics, and they're like, it doesn't matter, you know, I'm gonna vote for Trump, it doesn't matter. But meanwhile, my favorite thing of you know, coming out of the news that Biden is president was his name's Van. Oh, gosh, what's his last name? But anyways, he's a reporter and he did this heartfelt speech about how he was excited because he can wake up tomorrow and tell his kids, you know, that character matters.
Right.
Because that's something that I don't think the people who voted for Trump, because there's no way they're seeing this person, this a-hole, sorry, if no offense, but whatever offense, be a good example for, you know, for your kids or for you. As parents, we are trying to set good examples, to be kind. I mean, I'm like driving it down my kids' throats and I'm like, say thank you, please, kindness, you know, stand up to bullies. Meanwhile, it's just, it was, so this guy, this reporter, Van, and what is his last name? Or I'm so sorry, but he cried. Did you see that?
Oh, I don't think that I did.
I'll send it to you. I'll put it. It was so moving, but I agree. It's like, I feel that the energy of that person being our president, it was horrible for everybody and our energy and our moods. But also, I have a ton of friends, as you know, around the world. I'm just a jet setter. No, I'm just kidding. But I do. I have a bunch of friends and people reach out from different countries and we're like, oh my God, I'm so happy that Biden won. We are so sick of hearing about Trump and it's so stressful everywhere, not just in our country.
Yeah. I mean, you think about like they rang the church bells in Paris.
You're right.
And, like,
yeah.
I mean, I really do think the whole world had a sigh of relief. This America is supposed to be this beacon of hope. We're supposed to be this, like, the president's supposed to be the leader of the free world. And yeah, to what you were talking about, I've heard a lot of parents talk about that we try to teach our kids to be kind and to have a sense of morality and a sense of goodness. And you have the leader of the free world calling people names.
Every day. Like, you wake up to him calling another woman a nasty,
right,
whatever. It's just like, come the fuck on. I'm sorry, you can edit that out, but come on. It's like, come on, buddy. You're going into timeout.
Yeah. So it does make me feel like at least now maybe we can be like, see, it doesn't like it. It will eventually come back. Like, it will come back to you. And I guess that's the takeaway that I try to, you know, that I try to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. And I will also say the thing that makes me weep,
yeah,
is Kamala Harris. I just,
oh my gosh, I know.
The fact that we have finally a woman in the White House.
Yes.
A woman of color, a woman of mixed race.
It's great.
I mean, it's like, I'm a white dude, but I think about all those little girls,
yeah,
who can see themselves now, who can say, look, there's someone like me in the White House. And that is,
I know,
so heartening and like fills me with such joy.
Yeah. I watched it with my daughter who's 7 and
yeah,
it was, you know, I think she's like, mommy, why are you crying? I'm like, hi, cause this is emotional, but this is the first, and I really had to explain it to her. I'm like, there's never been a woman in this position and you know, anything is possible. Also, you know what really excites me about her as well? Not just a woman, but she's a daughter of immigrants, which I am. And it's like,
yes. Yeah.
I was talking to my mom and dad, and my mom's like, you could be president. I'm like, mom, I don't think so. I've done a few racy sketch comedies that I think they'd pull up. But no, it was really meaningful to watch with my daughter. And yeah, so and you know what's so crazy is that the sigh of relief that we were having, and then, you know, just like focusing on not having Trump or not waking up to like crazy fiery storms every morning, I kind of like forgot about Kamala, which is great. You know, I didn't, but it's like that should have been the thing we were celebrating. But it came, every time I'd sort of like calm down, I'm like, oh, right. You know, it's so exciting. It's just great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have, we have 2 months to get through.
Oh my God.
And that's going to be a bit of a wait, but it does just feel like there's like hope on the horizon.
Yeah.
And it's been 2 episodes in a row of nothing but politics. And you know, that's just where we are right now. I'm not apologizing for it. I am saying that we'll eventually talk about more than just politics. And people have posted about this. I'm not discovering it. We're going to have someone in charge of education who believes in education.
So exciting.
We're going to have someone in charge of the environment that cares about the environment. We're going to have some, like, all of these positions have been filled with people who are put there specifically to do a terrible job.
Right.
And which is insane. Like, I don't think any president's ever used that tactic before. Yeah. Like, even if it's a Republican president, I think they put someone in charge of of education that cared about education.
Right.
You know, like this has been such a non-normal moment. And the idea that we're going to have people in charge and people that believe in science and people that believe in medicine and people that are going to like let the people at the CDC say the things they have to say to get this under control is just, it's like, it gives me such joy.
Me too. Such joy. I love Dr. Jill Biden is, I've actually followed her before. I followed her on Instagram before because I just think she's a really cool person, an educator and just a leader in that field. And it's just, being the first lady is going to help impact and it's going to be so good for our education system. I'm just so excited. Like, I can't even.
Yeah, it is very exciting. We were talking last night and I was telling you that I have a story to tell you.
Oh, yes, I know. It's like, don't tell me.
So here is that story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have a friend whose mother received a call from a pollster in which this woman, who for the record is a white Republican who was going to be voting for Trump, said to this pollster that she was a black Democrat who was planning on voting for Biden.
Ew.
And that's one person. We talk about why the polls were so off.
Right.
I don't know how often this happened, but if people were being instructed to do that, like that's an interesting thing. For the record, my friend was horrified by this story.
Oh my God.
She gave me permission to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, how insane is that?
I guess I can believe it, but I just believe people are good. Inherently, I always say there are only two kinds of people. There are good people and there are good people in pain.
Whoa.
So I'm like, to me, how could someone be so conniving? Or I guess they just want their president to win or, you know, their guy to win.
I guess. I don't know. It's pretty. Yeah, it was pretty mind blowing.
Insane.
Yeah.
Bad job. Bad guys. Bad on you. No.
I had to clarify a couple of times. In fact, I sent a message and I haven't heard back. So if I'm telling the story at all wrong, I will correct myself next week. But like, because I literally was like, wait, you need to tell this to me one more time. Like, wait, go over this again. Like, how did this? Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. There's a little interesting.
I wonder where they were instructed to do so.
Yeah, I wonder too. To be clear, this person also, this mother also does not believe that the vote is going the wrong way because of fraud. Like, they do believe, like, yes, Biden won, and he won fair and square. So it's not all crazy news. But yeah, I mean, that is also I don't know how you ever get through to the people who refuse to believe in truth.
I don't know either. But did you know, my friend, she's on the Trump mailing list or whatever and gets the emails because she signed up for something. And then she posts them to Instagram. It's fascinating. But they're asking for money to help like with this like voter fraud or whatever. However, in the fine print, it says that it can pay off their debts.
Yeah.
Which is like so shady, so sick. These people are so messed up because they know it's wrong, but they're still taking money from people.
Yeah, it's all about them. It's never been about serving the country. It's never been about helping other people. It's all about them. It's all been about them getting what they can get out of the situation.
Yeah. Right.
It is pretty crazy. You know what I think though? And maybe, so now I'm going to be hopeful. Now I'm going to be like Pollyanna.
Good.
I believe, maybe I'm crazy. I believe that even Republicans will be happier.
I agree.
In the next few years.
Yes.
Because I don't think you can listen to his rhetoric. I don't, even the ones cheering behind him, I think are sick about it. I think a part of them knows that this is crazy. And that it's not American and that it's not for everybody. I have to believe, to get woo-woo for a moment, I do believe that we are all one thing. I do believe that the human race is one entity. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, different thoughts and different opinions and we go in different directions. But I do believe there are moments and there are parts of the energy that even when you're cheering on, I'm going to call them the bad guy. I don't mean that in like a, I don't love the term bad. I don't love the term evil, but I'm just going to kind of use that as like a blanket term. I think that there are those that cheer on wrong and feel sick about it.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't realize it. Maybe they don't feel it right then. But I do think there's a part of your brain when you're doing something wrong. Once again, weird words that I don't always love to use. Mm-hmm. When you're doing something that is actually against the whole's best interest.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's put it that way. I think there's part of you that knows that and that feels sick about it.
I hope so. I really do. I do believe. I also love the collective unconscious, you know, like idea. And that makes sense to me. What? Why are these people in such pain that they want to back somebody who's spewing vile?
Well, on the topic of trying to understand a Trump supporter, the only way that it's ever been explained to me where I can kind of let it sink in a bit is that there is just a group of people who feels left out, that they feel like politics has never been there for them, politicians have never been there for them, and somehow this person was able to tap into that. And I think he tapped into it through humans' worst impulses.
Mm-hmm. Fear.
But I think he somehow used that. Yeah, fear, 100%, was able to tap into that to say, I'm here for you. And they believed him, mm-hmm. even though it's a lie.
Right.
So I'm gonna, in my hopeful state, say that I think that there's every chance that we will all be a happier people as this goes along.
I think so. We're gonna radiate more kindness and more happiness.
That's what I hope.
Yeah. Yay, I like it.
So, you know, we haven't really talked about, we were saying that we're doing this just for us, and we totally are. I mean, I love if anyone's listening.
Right.
Vanya and I really just wanted a project to work on together. And we were like, let's just have a conversation and put it out there and see whatever happens. Why don't we start this really quickly? Just say a little bit about you.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm Vanya Arslanian. I am a many things. I do a couple podcasts. I have two children that are 3 and 7. I love my friends. I'm a creative person. I'm working on my writing. And I'm just here surviving in this wonderful pandemic we're living day to day, trying to keep it positive, you know? I like to call myself an aggressive optimist.
You lived in New York for a while, but now you live in LA.
That's right. Mike and I, so if I could go back to our, so we went to college together and we just fell in love, as you do, and we're best friends forever. We were in a bunch of plays together, and then Mike moved to New York City, and then I finished college because I'm a little bit younger, and who knows, it took me a little bit longer. And then the year after I got married, my husband and I moved in with Mike Jensen for a little bit while we found our place. And we lived in New York for 13 years until I moved out to LA a couple years ago.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about you guys like living on my futon.
That's right,
we like we were all in that little one bedroom on the second floor.
We did. Somehow it worked, right? Because we all had different work schedules.
Yeah, your husband worked really early.
Yeah. He was working at Grey Dog.
Yeah, it's the restaurant that I went to with Annabelle, like literally I was sitting at the table and I looked across the street and I was like, oh, that's where Adam used to work.
Yeah, he was like a prep cook.
And then you were sort of closer to 9 to 5-ish.
That's right. I think at that time I was working at down in Soho. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, yeah, I was doing luxury retail sales. Fun.
And then I was working at a restaurant that only had dinners.
Right.
So we were kind of all around at different times. Like everyone had had a moment of time where they were in the apartment by themselves. And it sort of worked out. Yeah. So I still live in New York. I'm actually in that same building that I lived in all those years ago. I'm in a different apartment.
That's great space.
But yeah. So there you go. I just want to sort of establish us a little bit.
I love that. No, I think it's important. Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll always bring it back. But man, moving to New York in my early 20s and getting to spend time, so much time with you and just getting to experience New York. It was like that feeling of crazy. It was like Christmas Day every day.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't get that anymore, but I'm also older and just, you know, I'm jagged.
It happens. I mean, we all get older and we all get a little bit jaded. I try to have those moments where I look around and I'm like, I'm in New York and I love it here.
Yeah.
And it's still magical. And of course, it's very different right now because my primary reason for being here is theater. Right. And we're on hold.
That's right.
But there is a vaccine on the horizon that is perhaps 90% effective.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. Also, such a great piece of news. I'm like, whoa, God. I know it's going to take a while to roll out, but like, my God.
Correct.
It just makes you see
there's a bit of
happy. Yeah. Pardon if you can hear my child yelling in the background.
So what you digging?
Ooh, what am I digging? Okay, so this is, you know, we sort of earlier talked obviously about like the things that were wonderful, like Kamala and all these wonderful things. But so I picked something else. Okay, So the day of the election, I wanted something to distract. And so Adam and I, my husband and I, like to watch, it's on YouTube, it's called The Hot Ones. Have I ever made you watch it?
I don't think so.
It's okay, so it's kind of like, it's like an interview show. And it's the host is Sean Evans, and he interviews a celebrity while they eat 10 spicy wings, and they start less spicy and go to like the most extreme insane. But people get absolutely bonkers by the end of these. They're like seeing visions. I mean, they, you know, and everything is rated by Scoville level. Have you ever heard of that?
I don't know that I have.
Okay. So I looked it up, 'cause I was like, this is something these like dorky YouTubers created. It's not, it was coined in 1912 by this scientist. His last name was Scoville. And it literally, it's units of pungency / you know, spicy, for specifically for chilies. Anyways, so we had gone early that day. We had a friend watching our little ones, and we went to World Market, and they had a bunch of the sauces. So we're like, oh my God, this is what we're gonna do tonight. We're gonna get wings, and then we're gonna do our own hot ones. And so it was honestly so fun. We had such a blast. I thought my face was going to explode off by the second to last one. Also, if anybody out there watches it, Da Bomb is disgusting. There's this one, it's called Da Bomb. Trust me, I'm just going to send you an episode, Mike. One of my favorite ones is Gabrielle Union. She's so hilarious.
Okay.
She's just so good. So yeah, I almost had a panic attack. There was like sparkles all over my eyes and face. And, but you know what? Sometimes it's fun and good to feel those extreme moments. Although, Mike, did I ever tell you about when I had a really hot pepper when I was pregnant with Calvin?
I don't think so.
Oh, you guys, really quick, I don't want to divert, but
you totally told me this, but yeah, tell the story.
When I was at a Thai restaurant, at this Thai restaurant called Night Market. It's amazing. It's in LA, and I will take you there when you come back and when things are normal, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I was like very early pregnancy where I wasn't even telling anybody, you know? So I'm at this table with a bunch of people, and everybody ordered a million things, and they were coming out sort of like all over the place. And the last thing to come out was this weird, it was just veggies. And I took an entire chili pepper and ate it. And I thought I was going to die. Not only like the sparkles, I was starting to have a panic attack because it wouldn't stop. It wouldn't stop. And then, and then I was like, oh shit. Oot. Oh shoot. What if this, you know, aborts my baby? and that's insane. But
I mean, it's not funny, but like, yeah.
So I ran up to the bar in the restaurant, and I was like, cream, I need cream. And they're like, cream? I was like, oh, hot pepper, I need cream. I'm like, I can't see, my eyes are watering. And they didn't have cream, but they gave me like coconut milk, and so I drank that. Anyways, I live to tell the tale. But that's how this second to last hot sauce I tasted made me feel. But then I don't have a baby inside of me right now, so I was like, whatever, kill my insides. It's fine, I don't care. But it was a great distraction. Yeah.
That's fun. I do love spicy food.
I know you do.
We were talking about the time that when we all lived together, I had never tried to cook with jalapenos before. I love that we're already laughing at this story.
Sorry.
And you guys weren't even there. I was in the apartment by myself, and I cut up these jalapenos, and I had heated a pan, and I just like threw the jalapenos on the pan. And like seriously pepper sprayed myself. Like I started sneezing. I was crying. Like it was so bad. It was like terrible. And like I think an hour later, probably, yeah, like an hour later, you and Adam came in the door and you were like, hey, I'm like, ow!
I swear to God, because you know, I've actually been pepper sprayed before, not because I was attacking anyone, but because I was in the range of the pepper spray. And it felt like I felt like I was pepper sprayed, and it was like in your throat for like 2 days. But yeah.
So terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. When I, at the time that I accidentally pepper sprayed my roommates.
Yep. Live to tell. I live to tell. Okay, Mike, what are you digging?
So I have been watching a lot of MSNBC.
Okay.
That's sort of my go-to. Like, I really like the anchors. I totally understand that it has a liberal bent. I have a liberal bent. I don't think they're lying to me. I know they're telling the truth. Maybe it's a little skewed.
Yeah.
I'm kind of okay with that. Like, as long as I'm getting the facts, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay with it. I love after the debates and, like, after a certain coverage, they'll have Joy Reid.
Okay.
Rachel Maddow. And I always want to call her Sarah, but her name is Nicole Wallace. Okay. Sarah Paulson played her in a TV movie once.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm always like, Joy, Rachel, and Sarah are on. And then I have to be like, except for her name's Nicole. And they're just all three of them. They're so smart. And like, I don't know if Nicole Wallace is still a Republican or not. She used to be a Republican. I have no idea what her affiliation is. But I just love like the three of them. And like Brian Williams is there too. Whatever. He's fine. but I just love like the smart women like talking to each other. Like it reminds me of back when I loved The View. Like, yeah. There was a time on The View, and I know she's very divisive. For the record, I love Rosie O'Donnell. I don't care what anybody thinks. Yeah. She's one of my favorite people in the entire world. And Nicole and Rosie were actually on The View at the same time. And I, you know, I know that it got fraught. I know it didn't end well with Rosie on The View either time that it ended. But it was just like, I just love like smart women having a conversation. I don't watch any of them now. I feel like they get a little like Real Housewives of, you know, politics.
Oh, on The View. Yeah. I can't quite go there.
Yeah. And I don't like that stuff very much. But anyways, I'm just putting out there that I know that they already have jobs. I know they're already busy, but I would totally watch a program where it was just Joy, Rachel, and Nicole like talking about politics and maybe having a guest on. They already have their own shows. I'm sure they don't have time, but anyways.
I love that.
Just putting it out there. I love the three of them. I love watching them together. Give me a show.
Absolutely. That's great.
So I'm going to go first on this one just because it's completely related to what I just said. So the thing that I could live without.
Oh yeah, do tell.
Is also MSNBC related.
Okay.
And it's that every time they talk about COVID, they throw this map up, and it's a map of the United States, and it's a map of who's had the most COVID cases. To me, this map is not helpful.
Right.
This map is not telling me what's happening in the last 7 days or the last month or right now. So New York is always dark, dark, blood red. So is California.
Yeah, so is California.
And I know that we both still have our problems. I know that both of those states are still dealing with it in different ways. But I just, can we change that map? Could that map be more like about what's happening right now, not about like the history of COVID? That's all.
I think that's a really good note.
Thank you.
It's funny. What I could do without is also, well, because I sometimes like to cheat like you. I have two.
Go for it.
And mine is basically just the spikes in the virus right now. It's so stressful.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I took my kids, I have to get them outside. And so I took them to the park yesterday. And I can't tell you the fear and anxiety I have when they're playing at the park and like other kids start to wobble up to them or toddle around them. And I'm like, because, you know, if you're under two, you don't have to wear a mask or whatever. But both my kids, and I also made my son wear a mask when he was two. So whatever. He just turned three. That stresses me the heck out. And I could just really do without that. I'd love for it to get better. The other thing I have that I could have done without is the next day after the hot challenge. It was very stressful on my body. I was just like, oh, this is real. It didn't feel like I was sick. It just felt like I was like spicy butthole.
Right.
Just the spicy. It's like it was spicy going in and spicy going out. And I kind of like it weirdly, but I also, I'm just kidding. But I mean, I kind of, it's like, oh, look at that. The food is being digested. Ouch. Owie. So yeah.
Yeah, I can certainly relate to that. Yeah, you know, I guess what I would expand on with that too, and I don't mean the spicy part, I mean the spike part. Just wear a mask.
Just wear a mask. And put it over your nose, please.
It's so frustrating. Like, even in New York, I walk around and I'm like, just put your mask. Why is your mask off? It's not hard to wear a mask.
No, I agree.
So, yeah, I get confused about that. So, I swear at some point this next segment is going to be me pulling a random word out of, like, a bag and us talking about it. But what I wanted to do this time instead is I want to go back to kind of what we were talking about with us when we first met.
Okay, yeah.
So, I want to talk about, like, not first impressions necessarily, but like what's one of your first memories? Like, what are your earliest memories of? Let's talk about me. What are some of your earliest memories about me?
Oh, I have this memory of you before you knew who I was. And there was like it was a high school competition at the community college. So we were all in high school, and there were people who had written plays, and there were people who were doing just scenes from plays. And I remember your school did, I later found out that it was something you wrote. It was the elevator scene.
Yeah.
and you were in it. And I was just like floored by how smart it was. And I was like, somebody wrote that. I was just like, you know, we lived in a smaller area. I had seen some theater, but really not that much. Nothing like, nothing that wasn't, you know, the top hits of musical theater. So watching a play without music and, you know, a high schooler wrote it, and it was so like clever and creative. Anyways, that's my first impression of you. And I just was like, I'm going to be that guy's friend.
That's funny. You know, it's, I wrote that because, yeah, it was the first, and I think maybe last year that the community college did like a high school theater competition festival kind of thing. And the one that my high school was sending, I wasn't in. It was a completely different scene that they were going to be doing. And I was really sad because I was like, well, I want to be part of this. And one of the loopholes was that, like, if a student wrote their own thing, you could also submit that, which meant that a high school could submit two different scenes. Amazing. But one of them had to be student written. And so I literally wrote down, I sat down, I was like, well, these are my friends that I want to go to this competition with who aren't in the other play. And I literally wrote a thing.
You're so good.
For, I think it was 6, 7, 8, like 10 of us, I want to say.
Yeah.
And yeah, it took place where we were all in elevators that were stopped, and we just sort of had like our scenes. Anyways.
It was great.
Yeah, that's funny. That's literally why it happened, though, because I was like, I'm going to this festival.
It's good.
Yeah,
so
there
good.
You go. That's funny.
Okay, tell me about me then. Let's talk about me.
So the first time that we actually met was when I was doing sound design for a play that you were in.
Oh, was it Vanities?
I think that's when we first actually met. It was for,
yes,
Vanities. Yeah, you were doing Vanities and I was brought in to do a sound design
that's
for
right.
it. And I just remember thinking that like you were kind of like badass and like sort of like dangerous is the wrong word. Maybe being like, oh, this girl is like cool. And I've never ever felt like a cool person before. So I definitely remember thinking like, I probably am not going to be friends with her because I think she's probably too cool
no
for me.
Way. No way.
But then it didn't. Yeah. Then it ended up working out
easy.
Anyways.
You know why?
And you were great in that play. And
once we did meet each other, it's like, that's honestly how I found my husband too. It's like someone who makes me laugh and who laughs at me, you know, like that is like my, we just have like this crazy chemistry and it's, and here we are today. Many years later.
Yeah, it worked out. Here
that's
we go.
That's lovely.
Isn't that funny? That was like literally, was that like the fall of 97?
Yes.
Something like that. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was the fall of 97. Yeah.
Nuts.
I know, crazy. Happy to be alive. Happy to be on this earth with you.
So,
yeah.
Lay a random fact on me.
Okay. Here's my random fact. Okay, so this is a little dark. I'm sorry. I was like, because I was really moved by your, don't use hot water from the tap random fact from last week. So I was like, I gotta get serious here. But you know, so if you get hurt in a public place, what you should do is single out one person for help to avoid the bystander effect. Do you know what the bystander effect is?
I do not.
Okay, I'll tell you. It occurs when the presence of others discourages an individual from intervening in an emergency situation against a bully or during an assault or another crime. The greater the number of bystanders, the less likely it is for any one of them to provide help to a person in distress. And I guess people are more likely to take action in a crisis when there are few to no other people around. Although I will say, my own experience in New York City, I've been around, you know, like I've been on a crowded subway where everybody, you could pretend like no one's around, but it's super crowded. And then something bad happens and everybody comes to the rescue. I think New York might be a little bit different. I remember I was walking on Houston and walking to my job, crossing, I think 3rd or something. And some homeless guy like was really tweaking out and messed with me, and a bunch of people came over to help, but I screamed and scared the crap out of the homeless guy, and so I yelled like a crazy person and he got away from me very quickly, but like people came over. But so anyways, while I don't think it's necessarily true in New York City, it can happen. So the good news is the social.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Well, it's just good to know.
Yeah.
But the social and behavioral paralysis described by the bystander effect can be reduced by awareness. So just knowing that exists, and in some cases, explicit like training. And they also give advice like just pretend like you're the only person there if something bad happens, and then you go and help. Don't expect others to be the first to act in a crisis. There you go. Dark, but I think
cool.
A good to know.
No, that's some good stuff to know. So mine is also a life hack, a little bit lighter,
good.
But something that I think is good to know. And I guess I remember I was having issues with my phone. Like, it was just, like, acting up. Like, things weren't sending or, you know, it was, like, just glitching a lot. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. I was really annoyed. I hadn't had it for that long. And I took it into the Apple store. And I was like, ugh, my phone is just, like, glitching. Like, it's having a hard time opening certain things. And the person looked at it and was like, okay, well, when was the last time you just shut it off for a few minutes? And I said, are you saying that I should shut it off for a few minutes every once in a while? That's not in the manual. Do they tell you, does someone tell you that somewhere? I don't feel like anyone tells you you should turn your phone off every once in a while.
I've never heard that.
So yes, every once in a while, every few days, you should turn your phone completely off.
Oh my God.
Leave it off for about 2 minutes and then turn it back on.
Well, I guess I know what I'm doing after this call.
Yeah, they don't tell you that. No one tells you that.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I turned my phone off.
This is like not really related, but I still own a Dyson vacuum.
Ooh.
But it's the second one that I've owned because the first one like just stopped working and I was like looking up all the troubleshoots and I called the people at Dyson and the woman on the phone was like, well, how often do you use it in max mode? And I said, what I'm hearing you say is that I shouldn't always have it in max mode. Because I'd always had it in max mode. Why wouldn't you have it in max mode?
Right. I know the best suck of my life, you know.
You're not supposed to turn that on all the time? So there you go. There's another one. If you own a Dyson, don't always have it on max mode. It'll burn out the engine. I didn't know.
Oh my God, no one tells you those things. My Dyson also quit. Now I have a Shark and I love it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I stuck with the Dyson because they gave me...
They're much cheaper, but they suck pretty good.
Yeah, they gave me a really good discount on... Like talking to them on the phone, she was like, well, I can get you blah, blah, blah. And it was pretty cheap. So I do like it. I do like my Dyson. We don't have advertisements. We don't have advertisements, so I don't, you know. But there you go. All right, it's been so lovely talking to you.
I love you, Mike Jensen.
I hope everyone out there is doing fine. I hope everyone's feeling a little bit lighter, a little bit happier.
Me too.
And we'll be back next week.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We'll be back next week. I'll see you then. And I would say let's talk a lot more, but I have to pee so badly. And I have had to for like 20 minutes I'm like, you can power through this, Mike.
Oh my God, don't get a UTI on my account. go to the bathroom. I'm like always telling my kids, I'm like, listen to your body. And my son will come out of the toilet and he'll be like, Mom, Mama, I listen to my body. I'm like, good job, baby. Good job. All right.
Everyone listen to your body.
That's right. Bye.
All right, bye.